said, cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy.
Hello and welcome to this week's Robin Pod, and it's a belter as Hulkington Rovers are set to kick off their 2024 Super League campaign. And don't forget, the Robin Pod is powered by Budget Tyres Auto Centre, the only car specialist trusted by the players, club officials and supporters of Hull KR. Joining me this week is Dan Craft and Joe Appleyard. But before we speak to them, let's catch up with Sky Sports' Jenna Brooks as she shares her hopes for the new season and what we can expect from Sky. Jenna, it's great to have you back on the Robin Pod, which is now the fourth season of the Robin Pod. I was just thinking, how long have you been covering the games for Sky now?
So my first grand final was in 2019, but I'd only done bits and pieces in the lead up to that. I got this job full time a couple of weeks before we went into lockdown. So in 2020.
Yeah, so my first season. Yeah, so fully entrenched in rugby league. They're obviously a familiar face to people who tune into Sky Sports for the rugby league coverage. And there's some exciting changes for 2024.
They certainly are. If you haven't heard us banging the drum the last couple of weeks, every game is going to be available live on Sky. It's the only place. Like, I know Super League Plus, obviously, going to be showing every game. But if you want to watch the games live, you do that through Sky Sports. So we're so excited. There's just a real different kind of buzz around the build-up to this year. You know, as I said, I've been involved in a number of seasons now, but this one does feel different.
Yeah, I was going to probably echo what you're saying, Jenna. There does seem to be, whether it's because of the IMG provisional gradings for clubs, the fact that clubs have got to up the game to make sure that they get the right grading, the fact that there's going to be more games ever than before able to watch, whether that's on Sky, the BBC, of course, announcing that they've got the free-to-air deal. So I think as a supporter of rugby league and as a supporter of Super League, it is a really exciting time, and what a way to open up Super League as well with a Hull derby.
Absolutely. Cannot wait for that Hull derby. But just on what you were saying before, I think it's only right for the sport that finally every game will be able to be viewed live. I think it's what the sport needs. I think it's what the sport deserves. It's going to open up to a whole new audience. We're going to get new eyes on the game. You know, Jono, we always say all it takes is one rugby league game and you're hooked for life. So we're just hoping to, you know, open the doors up for people who might not necessarily have watched Super League before, that they can now watch it. Now, as you said, BBC, I think they've got at least 15 games that they'll be showing this year. Super League Plus is going to be huge as well. Then, of course, the Sky Sports streaming service. So it's all to look forward to. And what a way to start the season with that Hull derby. Cannot wait.
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be fireworks on Thursday night. Obviously, we're recording this just a couple of days before then. Before we came on, we were just talking about sort of your preparation as well for the new season. Obviously, more games. You're probably busier than ever.
Yep, busier than ever. So more games to be across. I think we've got the podcast going again, our second year doing the Bench podcast, which is fantastic. I've also got the Rugby League Verdict, which is every Wednesday, shameless plug, at 3:30 p.m. on Sky Sports News. Just building up to the season, I feel like I kind of go in feeling refreshed and ready to go. And I am refreshed and I'm super excited and all of that. But at the same time, I'm already exhausted because these first, you know, kind of the last couple of weeks building into this, it's been just kind of banging the drum and launch day after launch day. And it's just unreal. It's so exciting. And I really believe that this season, it's going to be a bit different. And it's just, yeah, so exciting. It's going to be as close as it was last year. It's hard to pick. It's hard to make these early predictions. I can't wait for it to get started now.
Yeah, there's so many backstories at play as well, isn't there, in Super League this season, of course. We've got the Wigan Warriors. Can they defend their title? St. Helens smarting from not being able to pick them to the post last season. Of course, we've seen a rejuvenated Warrington with Sam Burgess coming in to coach them. Of course, Hulkington Rovers. You're on the Robin Pod. We're expecting to hopefully go that one bit better and actually lift some silverware this season. And then there's a number of teams who struggled last season and will be expecting to do better with a raft of new signings, head coaches being changed. And
and London Broncos back in Super League. So we've got the big city represented, which is a welcome addition to Super League again. So there's so many stories at play this season.
There are. And again, just on the fact that every game is going to be live, I think it's the first time that we're really going to be able to follow every single story from the beginning of the season to the very end. Like, as a journalist, it's hard for you to kind of travel between games. There's some games that are going to be obviously played at the same time, but you're still going to have access to watch the whole thing. So I think that's massive in terms of the narrative this year. And as you say, there's a story with every team. You pick the team. I mean, St. Helens, you mentioned, how are they going to fare without James Roby? They've got some new signings. They're going to be, you know, determined to come back and win it.
Jenna, it's great to have you back on the Robin Pod, which is now the fourth.
Same time, but you're still going to have access to watch the whole thing. So I think that's massive in terms of the narrative this year. And as you say, there's a story with every team. You pick the team. I mean, St. Helens, you mentioned, how are they going to fare without James Roby? They've got some new signings. They're going to be, you know, determined to come back and win it again. Paul Wellens is probably, fair to say, under pressure from the beginning of the year. You've got Warrington, Sam Burgess. What a story that is. I mean, for me, I do believe that that is the story of the season. I think all eyes will be on him. Even rugby union lovers are going to be interested in what he can do. And I believe, even though I did ask him, I was lucky enough to do a sit-down interview with him late last week, which will be available on demand from next week. But I asked him if he felt he had a point to prove this side of the world. He's obviously proved his point down under as a rugby league player. He's an icon, isn't he? But over here, there's all that bad press about his, you know, the 2015 Rugby Union World Cup. I believe he's going to really want to prove a point over here as a successful head coach. Obviously, Warrington haven't won the title in 69 years. So he's got a massive task ahead of him. Wigan, can they go back to back? Matty Peat's made some really strong signings. It's exciting to see what they can do. You know, Sam Walters, like he massive expectation surrounding him in the preseason. Obviously, that collarbone injury is going to rule him out for, I believe, a few months. So that's a massive blow for them. But, you know, they've got the likes of Bevan French, who just lights up the pitch. Jay Field lights up the pitch. It's just going to be really exciting to see what Cruz Leeming can do in the middle as well. But, you know, then you go on to your Robins and you've lost some hugely influential players. But Willie Peters has brought in the likes of Tyrone May. I think it'll be really exciting to see what he can do with Lewis, with Mikey Lewis, and see how their combination works. You've got Skids moving from that player, the captain of the team, into a coaching role. You don't have Denny Maguire in that assistant coaching role now. So plenty of stories with your club too.
Yeah, definitely. And it's something we've talked about on previous Robin Pods about the expectation around the Robins this season, and especially on Willie Peters. Obviously, he hit the ground running in his debut campaign, Challenge Cup final, and then semi-finals of the playoffs. And I suppose the expectation is to go one better. But like we've already talked about, there's so many other teams who will be expecting to do better as well. And that, for me, this is why it looks like it's going to be one of the most, if not the most exciting Super League seasons in a long time, because there's just so many teams vying for that, for them playoff spots. And when you talk about making predictions, I mean, obviously the Robins were expecting to be in the playoffs. Nothing's guaranteed. And that's why this is such a great sport, isn't it? That everything can literally go down to the wire.
Not only are you expecting to be in the playoffs, like speaking to some of the players, speaking to Willie Peters himself, I feel like you're preparing to win silverware this year. Anything less won't be good enough for Willie Peters and his team. You know, I don't have to tell you how disappointed he was with what they did last year. But again, it was his first year in charge of that team. And as you said, Challenge Cup final and the semifinals. I mean, I think that was an outstanding achievement in itself, but it wasn't good enough for him. And this year he is like, no, we're winning silverware. And
yeah, no, I think, Jen, I mean, as an outsider looking in, Jen, you get to speak to the players and the coaches. And for me, there seems to be a real steely determination about the club and about Willie Peters and the if you speak to Elliot Minchella, a real focus, which we've not seen for a long time. And I think you're right. They are setting their expectations high, and silverware is definitely what they want to achieve. And you just get that sense from the players that they're all focused in heading in the same direction. And Willie Peters, he is a hard taskmaster, isn't he? He comes across very well in front of the cameras, but I can imagine in training that he's a hard taskmaster, and he does make them players work, especially when you hear about what they've been doing in pre-season and how tough it is. So Willie Peters, he's done so well in his first season. Can he repeat it in his second season? Of course, the cameras will be on him on Thursday when we take on our bitter rivals. Are you at the game, Jenna? Are you covering it?
Oh, I wouldn't miss it, Jono. I'm there. I'll be on that touchline. I think it's a sellout, isn't it? It's like a record crowd or something, I've heard. So I think the atmosphere, it's always incredible atmosphere at a Hull derby, but I can't wait. I'm so excited. Even if it's going to be like -5 degrees or something, whatever the temp's going to be. I know it's going to be cold, but the atmosphere is going to heat it right up.
Yeah, and I think what makes this encounter so intriguing is, of course, it's opening up Super League. It's the first game of the season, but also it's the best time to be a supporter because Jenna, it's great.
At the start of the year, you look at Hull KR, you compare them to Hull FC, and I think it's one city but two towns that are preparing differently for the season. As we touched on, Hull KR are preparing to make the playoffs, if not win silverware, whereas I think you could say the Black and Whites are hoping to make the playoffs. So I know that Wigan went there in pre-season. I think they beat them 40-0 from memory. Just speaking to like Willie Issa, he's like, I think they're going to be good this year, Hull FC. So you never really know. I think Tony Smith is one of the best coaches in our competition. He's certainly one of the most experienced. What he did with Hull KR when he was there was so exciting. I think that we can maybe expect a little bit more of that open play from Hull FC. As you said, they've made some big signings. They have also lost some influential players, as I suppose you could say every team has. I'm excited to see what this Franklin Pele can do. But, yeah, I think it's going to be an outstanding game. I think it's going to be close. You know, I guess if you're going off last year, you're going to say Hull KR are going to win, but then Hull KR are at the enemy's home. So who knows? I don't know. All I know, it's going to be one not to miss.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm sure you'll receive a warm welcome in Hull, as you always do when you come across with the Sky TV cameras. Oh. Who's covering the game on Thursday for Sky?
So in studio, you will have Sam Tompkins, John Wilkin, and of course, Brian Carney. In comms, it will be, I think it's Dave Woods. Yeah. And Kyle Amor, I think, but don't quote me on that. But yeah, and then of course I'll be on the touchline, which I love. I love my job. I feel blessed every day. But yeah, so it'll be a good one.
Yeah, you might want to bring some earmuffs with you on Thursday, because I'm sure you might hear a few expletives from the, if you get so close to the crowd.
And my heated gelée. Don't forget that.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, it's actually funny you mentioned about Dave Woods, of course. A whole raft of new recruits, not just in Super League, but for covering Super League as well for Sky Sports this season.
I'm so excited. So obviously we've got Dave Woods in, Mark Wilson, Kyle Amor, Bill Arthur will still be covering games, which I'm so happy about. But yeah, just the addition of those new voices. And then you've got the girls. So I'm not the only female on the team anymore. So I've got Corker, Courtney Winfield Hill, who I think is one of the most outstanding pundits I've ever worked with, full stop. And then Jodie Cunningham, who is one of the most remarkable women I've ever met. She's such an incredible ambassador for the game and hugely talented as well. So excited to welcome them to our family and, hear them on Sky.
Yeah, and part of the big rebranding for Super League this season was the bringing the women's and wheelchair game and the men's game under all on one Super League banner. And
About time, I say, Jono, about time.
100%. And people who were fans of the female game are going to be able to watch more games than ever as well this season.
Yeah, exactly. And I can tell you that both the grand final of the wheelchair and the women's will be live on Sky Sports as well. So, it's going to be a massive year across all three competitions. I think it's just another nod to how important this sport is to Sky. We love this sport. And I think sometimes fans can get caught up in the figures and get caught up in things that they probably don't know the whole story around. But what this new deal does, what these additions to the team do, is illustrate just how important this game is to Sky Sports. So I kind of want to get that message across as well, because it is, you know, the team that is behind, not just the people that you see on camera, but the people that work tirelessly behind the scenes, the producers, the APs, the vision mixers, the directors, you know, they give up their time, they sacrifice so much, and they love this game. We all love this game so much, and we want to see it succeed. We really do. And I feel like the changes that have been made in 2024 are going to take a huge step towards the success of the sport.
Yeah, Jenna, you have a fantastic season. A safe journey over to Hull on Thursday. And thank you once again for coming on the Robin Pod. And hopefully we'll get you on during the course of the season in 2024.
Thanks for having me, Jono.
Good evening, chaps. Welcome to the Robin Pod, Dan, Joe. I don't think I'll ever get sick of hearing Jenna say Jono.
No.
Yeah. It's a very entertaining way from Jenna, of course, covering the game on Thursday for Sky Sports. Joe, come to you first, mate. How are you doing? The anticipation, the excitement, it's all building up, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, just like I said, you get the excitement, don't you? Now the Super League's back, everything, you know, what you and Jenna were speaking about then, Super League Plus, wheelchair women's game, everything seems to be under one roof now. And I think off the field, it's probably been the most positive I've seen the sport. And obviously, it all accumulates to Thursday night when we go to the MKM. But I think with all the games going to be on telly, the BBC deal, new look commentary, you can't complain. We've wanted this for years now, haven't we? And I think it's going to be one of the biggest, hopefully one of the best seasons to date, because we need to grow the sport now.
100%. And apologies to anyone who experienced any problems there listening to the first part of the Robin Pod. Live pods don't always go to plan, but hopefully you've got to hear from what Jenna had to say. Dan, welcome back to the Robin Pod, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad, Jenna.
Great to have you back. How are you? How's the nerves ahead of Thursday? Or are you one of those Rovers supporters who are experiencing any nerves? I mean, there's a bit of a confidence about the Rovers support at the moment.
Yeah, not nervous. I wouldn't say I'm nervous. I do think we'll win. I think in the tipping league, I think I've got the narrowest margin. I've got 8 points on last day. I think I'm the most pessimistic. But, oh, you know, on paper, you look at the two sides, we should be talking about it, shouldn't we?
That's it, Joe. The squads were announced early today. Obviously, Hull Kingston Rovers named their squad FC at lunchtime. When you look at the teams, I look at the teams, Joe, and I look at the squad, and I think if we go player to player, you know, I don't know if it's maybe a bit of arrogance, but I think that squad that we've named blows them out of the water.
Yeah, do you know what? I've heard that term arrogance a few times, and it's hard to say that because it's the first game of the season, and I know everyone's going off the back of last season, but there is that arrogance because of what they did last year and obviously of who we've brought in. I mean, I was saying to my pals earlier, you take away that derby narrative and who you're playing against and it's round one, you look at them two squads on paper, you look at what Rovers want to do this season and the way they've talked, forget that it's your FC. You should be beating teams like that. You know, I know it's going to be tough. I don't think people are on about 30, 40 points out there, the neutrals. I think it's going to be close. But there's no doubt for me that if we want to be where we're at this season and we want to be chasing silverware like Willie spoke to Jenna and the whole lab so many times about, then you've got to be picking these teams off. Because again, forget that it's Hull. Forget that it's the first game of the season. I think in the long run, Rovers are going to be streets ahead of this black and white side this season. And I think we've got to start strong the season like we did last year against Wigan. And yeah, for me, I know they've got a few injuries, so have we, but there's no reason why we shouldn't be putting them aside. You know, on my tipping, I didn't buy about 20. And that is probably being arrogant, and you never know, it might come back to bite us. But we're in a stage where probably there was a few years ago, weren't they, when there was on top of us. And we was using the excuse, well, you should be beating us anyhow. That's what they're doing now, aren't they? So it's a win-win for them either way, because if we beat them, then they'll be going, well, you should have beat us. You're going to be the next big things. But then if they get to beat us, they'll be like, bloody hell, you were saying you was going to win everything before a ball was kicked. But yeah, I am a bit nervous, to be honest, just because I think everyone's tipping Rovers. And I just, obviously, first game back being a fan, I want to experience a victory. So I'm hoping that the gods align and we get over the 2 points.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, pre-season seems to have been like forever, doesn't it? It just seems to have gone on. And obviously, we're just a couple of days away now from the first game of the season. I think the players will be absolutely chomping at the bit to get out there. There seems to be a real steeliness, determination about the squad. And I think that's breeding it into the supporters as well, in terms of we're ready for the game, we're ready to take to the stage almost. And take out the fact it's a derby. You know, I think we're all ready for that first game of the season. And of course, it is the derby, which has a little bit more significance to it. But, you know, ultimately, it is 2 points at the end of the day. And the season's not determined by what happens on Thursday night. But it would be great to start the season with a victory.
No, yeah, like you said, like Joe says, we need to sort of take it out of the equation that it's them. We need the 2 points. If we're going to be up there, top two, three side, we need to be beating the teams that are going to be near the bottom. And that's what we need to be in for. Like you say, with the attitude coming out of camp, you've got the likes of Minchella today, just listening to him on the interviews, they just all seem to be on the same page, the same goals, the same narrative. You know, Willie Peters and the whole KR way, everybody seems to be on board with that, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And it's what we need, this bit of a togetherness. There's no one man that's going to define the season. Everybody's on the same page, same goals. Let's achieve it together.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, if anyone has had the chance to listen to the pre-match press conference with Elliot Minchella, he's a very impressive individual, Joe. He seems to have took on that leadership mantle even greater than he already did as vice captain. Now he's the captain, and he's had some great tutelage under Sean Kenny Dowell, and he's still a young guy as well. But he's somebody who commands obviously the respect of the squad, and the way he speaks, and for me, he epitomises that determination, that steeliness. Almost, he's got a bit of ice running through him. He seems to set things in his stride. Obviously, you've got a chance to speak to him previously, and when he was named captain, I don't think many people's eyebrows were raised at it, just the way that he has conducted himself already.
I think, like Dan mentioned there, the old KR way, I think it's about taking knocks and coming back into the foreign. And I think that's what he did, obviously. He played the first round last season, didn't want up to standard. Willie Peters gave him quite a stern talking to. He goes away, didn't spit his dummy out, because we've seen if people do want to spit the dummy out and stuff, then they'll get released, if you know, get moved on. Whereas Elliot learnt from his mistakes and arguably was one of the best 13s in the comp last year, along with John Asiata. But yeah, I think he was probably the born leader, wanted the born successor to Sean Kenny Dowell. I'm sure Skids had a word with Willie saying it's probably Minnie's time to shine. And yeah, a really good interview earlier. Obviously, he has captained the side before, unofficially, you know, if you want to call it that. Now he is the official captain of the Robins. And yeah, no greater game to lead in his first one than at their ground, obviously, against the Black and Whites. And I always say, for a kid from West Yorkshire, you won't get many more West Yorkshire lads who've bought into East Hull and moving over these side neck of the woods and proper buying into what the Robins are about. And I think that's what Willie Peters wants. He wants that one club mantra, and everyone's got to be singing from the same hymn sheet. And he certainly does that. And yeah, I think he'll go bigger and better this season. And there's not many middles, especially loose forward, who's got the ball handling skills of him, who can act like a prop forward and, you know, probably play a full game, couldn't he? Run his blood to water every game if he could. But yeah, so I think big season for Minnie as well.
Yeah, just last one, Joe, before we talk about Super League in general in 2024. Is Minchella an 80-minute player yet?
I think he could be, but we saw it. I always go back to like when we had Tony Smith's last year, didn't we, with like George King, when he was the out-and-out best middle, and we kind of ran him to the ground, didn't we? So I don't think we need to. Obviously, we'll go on to speaking about what our squads will probably look like on Thursday, but you have got options now, aren't you? I know that them two are injured at the moment, but Sam Luckley and Matty Staunton should be back within a week or two. You've got Dean Adley, who can play numerous roles. Then, you know, even Whitbread has had a stint at 13 in the NRL. So he can move about and chop and change, and I think that's the beauty of Rovers' pack this season. Hopefully get them two lads back fit, and we get through it unscathed on Thursday, because every single player, barring a few, can play in the back row, loose forward and stuff. So if he is flagging a bit, you've got the chance to bring him off, and then little the leaders will step up out of the bat. I'm sure he'll be leading from the sideline when he's off for his 5-minute stints, what he normally does.
Yeah, definitely. Dan, if you look at Super League as a whole in 2024, I mean, we're talking about Hull as potentially being a team that will finish outside the playoffs. Do you think they're in a mini league almost, with London, Castleford and Hull in there, or do you think they're a little bit higher than that?
It's difficult to say at the moment, isn't it? You won't know until probably about round 5-6 where teams are going to be. I think you've got the bottom four, aren't you? London, Cass, Salford and Hull for me, on paper. You say, ball hasn't been kicked in anger yet. You can't really take the friendlies into account. But yeah, I think there's sort of that bottom four, and there's that push for the top six. Ideally, we don't want to be scraping it around for last few games of the season to try and squeeze in the six. We want to have secured top four by then, really, don't we? If we're going to build on last season, which should be the aim this season, shouldn't it, really? We shouldn't be thinking, right, we've finished fourth last season, right, we've got to make the playoffs this season. It should be, no, we need to, fourth or third is the target this season, isn't it?
Yeah, and Joe, you could probably Well, I say you probably could, but discount London. I mean, obviously, we saw what Leeds did last season, but the circumstances around their promotion compared to London, very, very different. Leeds almost rolled the dice early on in their championship campaign and started bringing players in. London, with a provisional IMG rating, know that unless they, I mean, they'd probably have to win it, wouldn't they? Or at least get to the grand final to stand a chance of staying in Super League. I think they're still running with a few part-time players. And even now, when you look at them heading into their opening game of the season, they're already suffering a bad injury record. It just doesn't look too clever for London this season.
No, it doesn't. I mean, they had a skinny squad before, obviously, these injuries occurred. And it's big names, isn't it? It's the Leyland, Rourke, who they had big name. Promise for Lewis Beanek, who of course played for the Black and Whites as well, so he's had Super League experience. They're just, you feel sorry for them, don't they? Obviously, they're there on merit and they deserve to come up, but arguably losing the likes of Corey Norman and that, they've probably got a weaker squad this season. And I saw the bookies were giving them 6-1 not to win a regular game, and it wouldn't surprise me. But obviously, there is a few poor teams this season, and I don't think they'll go winless all season. They might win one or two, but yeah, it's the. They're there kind of just to make up the numbers, aren't they? And I know they won't say that. And I know the fans, obviously, they've got a small but passionate fan base. And the players will prepare every week and do the media duties. But they're just going into it. Go and have a bit of a laugh. Go have an experience at first team, your first division level. And they've got nothing to lose, have they? Everyone's expecting them to get pumped every single week. They get a tough start from against St. Helens away. And yeah, I think from a bit of a selfish point of view as well, obviously we want to be in the playoffs this season. And we want to be in that top 2, 3, 4, whatever. We play London 3 times this season. We play Hull 3 times, Casp, teams like that. Then, you know, you should be winning them 3 times, because you do that, that's already 18 points. I know that's looking ahead, and obviously with the ball not being kicked yet, but when you break it down with these loop fixtures, we have got some decent ones this season, especially London, I think, at home twice.
Yeah. Tempting fate there, though, aren't you, Joe?
You know for a fact the first victory is going to happen at Plough Lane against the Robins, aren't they? I think it's a week before the Challenge Cup final, so hopefully that's 2 trips to London in 7 days.
Yeah, back end of May, isn't it, when we take on London? For me, Joe, it's the teams will then fall in maybe the next couple of places, which is the interesting one. I mean, Castleford, we saw former Hull Kingston Rovers assistant coach Dan Maguire join them as assistant. Big turnover of players there. Rowan Milnes, Sam Wood heading over to Castleford. But when I have a look at that squad, and you still see the likes of McShane, Westerman, Watts, you know, although there's been a changeover of players, a new head coach, new assistant, the squad still doesn't seem to be good enough to challenge for a top 6 place, and let alone anything more than that.
I think they'll finish 10th, mate. I think Salford will finish 11th. That's what I've tipped to many. I just think Salford have got a better team, a better 17, but they just haven't got the players, have they? And if injuries creep in, I think they're down to 23 already. Obviously, Vunniar was got a ban. Ethan Ryan's out till May, I believe. So you've already got a skinny squad, and you know, you've seen what that St. Helens did to them in that friendly. I know you can't read much into it, but I just think if they pick up a few knocks, you know, there was talk of Chris Atkin training on the wing, weren't they, in pre-season? So that's not good. Whereas Cass, yeah, I don't think they're going to be great, but they've got a new owner again for the millionth time in a season. The stadium plans are getting done up again. They brought some youth in, so I think they'll have more energy. I think they're trying to build out. They'd be delusional not to, you know, to think they're going to be anywhere near the top 6, but I do think they'll be better this year, and I think they're trying to clear the dead wood out. Obviously, you've mentioned some names there. They've still got the likes of Albert Vette and that, who was, you know, stealing a wage last season. Let's not put it lightly. He went to Donny in League One, and there's been a lot of pre-season chatter about him. So, yeah, they've obviously changed the quarter recruitment differently. Now they're getting people over from the NRL, whereas before it was just people getting released from Super League clubs, which I could never get my head around. But, yeah, I think Cass, Salford, London and Hull FC, I think, will be the bottom four. I think FC 9th, Cass 10th, Salford 11th, London 12th for me.
Yeah, Dan, Salford haven't had a great pre-season. They lost, of course, Sandy Ackers, Brodie Croft. They lost Ken Seo, Joe Burgess, acrimonious fallout. We still don't quite know the details of that, although Joe Burgess has spoke quite publicly about how shit it was. But their loss is our gain. Salford, they're flat to deceive sometimes, don't they, in terms of the squad, the players that they have. They seem to have been able to get more out of them than and maybe they should have done over the last couple of years. But surely, when you look at the squad this season, Salford are going to be a side that struggles.
Yeah, I agree with Joe. I think they'll be right near the bottom of Salford. They're a bit of good news today, though, aren't they? Is the council bought the stadium? They've taken over the stadium, which is good news for them, so they've got a permanent home there, which is good. Good for the game in general in Manchester, isn't it? But like you say, they just seem to be able to load the players over. Like, they've had Jackson Hastings in recent years, haven't they? Got Brody Crofton and whatnot. But I think that they're the big loss, aren't they? Brody Crofton and the Ackers for Leeds are just a massive loss. I just can't see where they go from here, really. I think, similar to Cass, aren't they? They're a club that aren't really blessed with wealth at the minute. But 23 players for a squad isn't anywhere near enough, is it? You see last season, the way the game's going, how fast-paced it is, you're decimated by injuries, aren't you? Because that's the nature of the game, isn't it? That's the way it's going. And I can't see anything other than them down at the bottom of London, really.
Yeah, Joe, let's talk about them top six spots. Wigan, Saints, Warrington, Rovers, Catalan. You know, when you start filling them slots up, you know, like I said, fingers crossed that Alkington Rovers are part of that, because if they're not part of that, you know, it's something must have gone wrong along the way. But it is going to be hugely competitive. Huddersfield, do you think they've got an outside chance, or do you think it's another season out of the playoffs for them?
I think if it's the latter, he'll be the first coach to go. I think their first three games are Lee, St. Helens and Wigan. And obviously they're missing Luke Yates now. I think he's got a big ban on him. He misses them three games. He's probably their best player for me in the pack. I think he's brilliant at loose forward. Yeah, I don't know, because they've signed some good players, haven't they? Obviously, you've got a bit of unknown quantities in Clune and Machu, who have come over from the NRL, and you can't really say what they're going to do. They've lost some big names. Obviously, McGilvery is gone, but they've replaced him with Adam Swift, who was a very good player in a bang average FC side last season. And then they've still got the likes of Chris Hill going strong at 42, whatever he is. So they're a real weird team. I always feel for Ken Day, because he's pumped so much money in, and then when you go there, it's like a graveyard, isn't it, sometimes, especially if it's two poorly supported teams. I think Huddersfield will either be top four or probably eighth. You never know what you're going to get with them. But then you could say the same about Warrington with Sam Baird, just obviously Sky and everyone's bigging it up. But I don't know, is he ready to be an head coach yet? He doesn't seem like he's the type of bloke who was ever going to be an head coach, do they? But he might work wonders. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. And then you've got Leeds, who I don't think will be as good as everybody thinks. I think Lee will be good again, but many people don't. But I think Lee will be right up there. And then you've got your obvious, your Wiggins, Catalan, Saints, and then hopefully OKR fit into that bracket as well. But yeah, seven or eight don't fit into six, do they? So we've got to be right on the ball. And I think you look at our opening 2 months, you've got to be picking up, I won't say maximum points because you'd be in dreamland then, wouldn't you? But you've got to be there or thereabouts, because you don't want to get dragged into a end of season race for that top six, especially if you're going deep in the cup as well. But yeah, so excited. It's going to be a great competition. And again, from one to seven, eight, can't call it, can you?
Yeah, and Dan, I suppose Warrington are the ones that have got the big eyes on them, aren't they, in terms of Sam Burgess. I mean, it doesn't matter who they seem to have as head coach or which players they have, they seem to come up with the same outcome. Obviously, they've rolled the dice with Burgess. It's his first head coach role. So you do wonder whether they're actually going to finally crack it. Daryl Powell wasn't able to get a tune out with that side, and obviously there's been a bit of a turnover in the playing roster. But, you know, no doubt Sam Burgess will be the darling of the TV cameras. It's just whether he's able to get him off to a good start, because you know that if things start going wrong early on, it can become a bit of a sorely stirring place to Halliwell Jones.
Yeah, I just can't see him as a logical appointment for him. You think if they're trying to push themselves, Warrington, he's got a bit of money, hasn't he? Is it Simon, what's he called? Yeah, their chairman. Got a bit of money. I just don't see it as a logical appointment. You think he'd have shopped around in Australia, similar to what we did with Willie Peters, and got the right man. It could go one or two ways. It could work for him, but what he needs to do is sort the culture out there, because I think that's been the big thing. I think Powell soon realised that the culture there was just rotten, wasn't it, to the core, and just players there just there for a payday, not really bothered about the rugby. But he's got some good players. He's obviously got George Williams there. He's got a few others. And if he can get a tune out of them, there's no reason why they can't make the top six, is there? I've got them just on my 12. I've got them just outside. Them all leave for six for me.
They're a poison chalice, though, aren't they, though, Warrington? Did you watch the highlights against Lee? You know, they're going down 12-0 and the fans are booing like it's a league game. There's so much pressure, isn't there, at that club. And you look at the side, I think they're a team of individuals for me. I don't think they've ever been a team. And I think they might get off to a good start, but they just peter out constantly, don't they? I just think there's too much pressure on, you know, probably Burgess and stuff. And I just can't see them making it. But you never know, do you? But yeah, it's they're a funny old club.
Yeah, so Joe, if we look right at the very top end then, so we look at League Leaders Shield and we look at potential grand finalists. I mean, Wigan, you know, you can't look beyond them, but St Helens will be smarting from not being able to lift the trophy last time out. Catalan Dragons, all the noise coming out of there is really positive about how they've not had to rebuild the team. Actually, they've just added to it. John and Abdul, of course, over there on the season on loan deal. So it is going to be interesting to see who finishes with that League Leaders Shield and then who makes Old Trafford.
The team who I've got a few question marks of is probably Saints. I just think they've got some brilliant young kids and up and coming, you know, they're a production line, aren't they? And they've still got some amazing players in Wellesby and the likes of that. But I just think, is it going to be a transition period after losing your James Roby and McCarthy Scarsbrook? I'm not convinced about T. Ritson and Conrad Aral as two quarter players. Again, they'll bed through you for the in the next Jack Wellesby will step up soon. And I think they'll be in the top half. Of course, I'm not saying they're going to be at the bottom four, but I just think, I think they might just have another season where not going through the motions but having another transition, you know, looking at the end of people's contracts, moving on, getting the youth product up. I think Wigan are there, aren't they? They're the ones who everyone's the 1-4 on some, aren't they, to win everything. And of course they've got a brilliant team, but until they get back on the grass, you never know, do you? Obviously, they looked good against Hull, but it's a friendly and you can't read too much into it. Catalan always have that Perpignan spark where it's always tough to go over there. It has been since they came to Super League. And then you're looking that and then you're thinking, is it going to be a Rovers or Lee in the top four again? Or what's it going to be? But I don't think there's nothing to fear. I think it's a very competitive division. But when you look, we're always in that mentality if it's your own club. And again, going away from the arrogance side of it, you always look at other teams, don't you, and big them up and go, oh, what a team they've got. But you only have to look on Twitter and everywhere else, and I know some rugby league fans' opinions don't really matter, but people are talking about Rovers now, and it's nice to be in that bracket. And you know, it's time to walk the walk a bit, and there's no reason why we can't be in the upper echelons again.
No, but Dan Joe's right, isn't he? You know, it's time to walk the walk kind of thing. You know, we've got to be beating St Helens, Wigan, Catalan more so when we play at their place as well. And I think there's a few hoodoos we need to sort of get off our back here to, and I think that is what propels us into that top three bracket. Can you see them breaking into there, Dan, next season?
Do you know what? You say top three bracket. Joe's mentioned that he's got some question marks about Leeds. For me, Catalan, I don't think they'll be top two side this year. I think they might be, you know, fourth, fifth, maybe sixth. I think that... I don't know. I just there's something about them. I just can't see it this season. I think the recruitment, they've signed some older players, and I don't necessarily think that's going to help them, especially with the heat out there. It's their away form, though, isn't it? If they can crack that, like you say, going to Perpignan's horrible. It's, yeah, well, like you say, with Hildos and that, I've been to Perpignan now 10 times. I haven't seen them win one. So maybe I shouldn't go this year.
Yeah,
it's not a happy hunting ground. Joe, let's go right back to the MKM Stadium on Thursday night then. Squad news announced earlier today. Rovers missing Matty Staughton and Sam Luckley. Look at the Hull FC squad news. They're missing Brad Fash, Carlos Tuivasa, Liam Tindall. They include six of their new signings. I think all of Rovers' new signings are in the squad, aren't they, for the game on Thursday? Joe Burgess, he was one who thought might have missed out, but he's made the 21-man squad. If you look at your 18, Joe, who misses out from the 21?
I think Louis Gorman misses out for me. personally, I probably have different opinions than there was when I put my team out earlier. I don't think you play Corey Hall just because of why you've got to go big on the bench. For me, I think your starting team pretty much picks itself. And then on the bench, I'd go big. I'd have Matt Parcell on the bench with George King, Jesse Sue, and then have Yusuf Harding or Leo Tennyson, me. I understand why people want Corey Hall there as backup because there's question marks over Tanga Noah, but I think Kelepi will play. And obviously, if Dean Adley starts at prop, takes the brunt of SASA and Pele for the first 20 minutes or so, and then when they go off knackered, bring on your Jesse Sue's, your Matt Parcells and George Kings of the world, and you can run riot. I watched the full game against Wigan, the FC game, and don't get me wrong, Pele and SASA did well for the first 15 minutes, and they threw a lot at Wigan. They just couldn't create anything. That's what they're going to do, aren't they? The first 15 minutes, the old fans will be bouncing. Pele might smash somebody and they might make a half break. You've just got to compose. You've just got to chill out and, you know, take whatever they're going to throw at you in the first 15 minutes. And then when that intensity drops down, like in a derby, like it always does, then it's when your Mikeys and your Mays and your Jerseys can take note, because they'll tire. They've got a big pack and everyone's been raving about this big pack, haven't they? That it's going to be the saving grace. So have we. We've got a big pack, you know, really impressed with Whitbread at Leeds. I thought he was really good. I think George King hasn't maybe had the best pre-season by all accounts, but we know what he can do on the pitch. And then you've got your Dean Adleys and that of the world who are workhorses. And for me, that's how I'd go. I think you just take what they're going to give you the first 10, 15 minutes. It might not be perfect, might be gritty, but then if you can get their bench on, which I think looks very, very weak compared to ours, that's when you can start turning the screw.
Yeah, you're right. They've got a number of youngsters who are making up their 21-man squad. You do wonder if Tony Smith wants to get into a middles battle and he's going to try and beat us up down the middle, because if you look at their backs, you know, there's not much creativity there, is there? You know, they've obviously got Brown who's come in, New Zealand international. I think Joe Cater has been lining up at hooker as well. So yeah, Something different for them. But you start looking at across the board and there isn't much creativity there in terms of players who've got pace and speed, who can do something off the cuff. They just don't seem to have that. So you do think it's going to become a bit of an arm wrestle in the middle. It's whether their forwards can keep up that intensity. And you almost want them to try and do these big hits and the showman stuff. So it looks great to the crowd. But in reality, it doesn't mean anything, does it?
No, I mean, again, I always think you can't go off friendlies, and I don't want to sound like a broken record there, but I've seen Hull against Doncaster and I've seen him against Wigan. Obviously, they beat Donny by 20 in the end and then got thumped by Wigan. But what it looks like for me is they'll give it to New Brown. He'll pass it out the back to Jack Walker. Jack will try and go side to side, try and look for a gap. There's not much there. And then they'll try something off the cuff. You've just got to get at him in defence. Stop New Brown because he looks an handy player. But again, a bit like Clifford last season, didn't really have much support around him. He made a few half breaks against Wigan, looked around and there was nobody there to be seen. And yeah, like you said, mate, they're going to have the moments. There's going to be them, you know, ass-twitching moments in the North Stand, didn't they, when they make an half break or they put a big tackle on. But overall, I think the bigger picture is Rovers have got a better side and they've got to go there arrogant and go, no, it doesn't matter that it's your turf. We're going to come and bully you. And yeah, you can have your props for your first 10, 15 minutes and then we'll see after that if they can carry on. And that's where I think the battle will be won, out there outside backs. Obviously, I think Lewis Martin will play on the wing and it's going to be interesting to see who he plays against. Will it be Nala Valds or will it be Joe Burgess? Obviously, McIntosh will be on there, right, opposite Ryan all on the left. But yeah, I just think overall we've got to take them to the cleaners here because, yeah, it's round one. It's not going to be the best game probably skill-wise, but you look at the 21s, the 17s and, you know, we should be getting the 2 points there.
Yeah, Dan, does Joe Baird just score 18, or I would like to see Evald and his pace, because we saw, didn't we, in that 40-0 victory that, you know, you get some speedsters on there and you get some open play and you can take full advantage. Of course, that was a different side, different season. But I do feel like this is a game where some of the speedsters could really take advantage of broken play, you know. And I think Evels could be the one who gets the nod, especially when you consider Bear just missed, what, a month of pre-season? Didn't feature in the pre-season friendlies. But who knows? That's the beauty of the derby, isn't it? There's always a bit of a curveball, a little bit something different that we might not have expected.
Yeah, I can see Bear just maybe having a couple of run-outs for maybe Featherston on Joel Reg before we get him in the squad. But yeah, I've gone Evels on the wing. I think he's been playing in the friendlies and he's well, the so friendly. He played in the Leeds game, but I've not got Burgess on in my 18. I've gone on probably similar to everybody else with the main squad. But I've started Hadley at prop with Sue and King on the bench as the props on the bench, and maybe have Tennyson on the bench. But he looked quite handy pre-season. Going back to looking at their comparing the squads, they haven't got a recognised half. But that Neil Brown is a hooker by trade, isn't he? And you look at their you're going to have Hall and Gildart lining up against McIntosh and Cameron Scott, aren't you? And then even inside them, you've got that Okumbo. We're watching him for Canterbury. Couldn't tackle Sunday dinner, could he? He wasn't bothered. I think that's the way to beat them. You know, you're gonna struggle against Pelé and SASA. That's their game, and like you said, big lads. I think the way to beat them is out the back. You're gonna have so much joy out there. You saw that at the derby, and it's different players, but in the derby, Good Friday last year, and we put Falky on them. We were just passing out to the left, weren't we? And just walking through them. And I think that could be a similar story with this.
Yeah, Joe, I mean, one thing Willie Peters has said is, and what he's got a bit of a track record for, is he does like to reward players. Now, obviously, Corey Hall, he's been featuring in a new position. He's trying to add a bit of versatility to his game, and the fact he's featured so heavily, does it point to the fact that actually he's going to be rewarded with a first-team jersey? I think Willie Peters during the week also, it was interesting what he said about Tennyson, saying actually how he performs better than he trains. Change his training schedule or increase his intensity. But if he feels that he's a player who performs when he's put out on the pitch, then you could argue it. The derby on Thursday night is the perfect opportunity for him to get some game time. And I suppose it's a good opportunity, isn't it, for these players who have performed well in friendlies or done well in pre-season training, that there's a light at the end of the tunnel and there is a reward, because obviously that brings other players along with them as well to say, you know, look, this is your reward if you do what we ask you to do.
Yeah, of course. And I think, if you know, it's either on the bench, Corey Hall, Yusuf Harding or Leo Tennyson's probably going to play, aren't they? So if you'd have gone back a few months when the derby was named, you wouldn't have put any of them on your bench. But obviously people change and there's a few injuries. But yeah, they can stake a claim. Again, it'll all come down to tactics, won't it, as well, of how he wants to line up. And I know Corey's had a really good pre-season. I think in the two games for me, I think he did struggle. I know Willie kind of pointed him out, didn't he, in the Leeds game, and he sees different things to us. But I thought, especially the tries, I think at least two or three of them he was at fault at for me. But again, it's the bigger picture, isn't it? It's not just them, but in them key moments, is he ready to fit in the back row against the Sauer and Ockenbauer on opening night in front of 20,000 people? Probably not. But can you maybe put him on the bench? Maybe it offers a utility option, doesn't it? But we'll see. But I think what will be interesting is the new rules as well. I think Rovers have done really well, aren't they, with the play of the balls. I remember minimal offences in both the Sheffield and the Leeds game, whereas Hull on the other hand have struggled a few times, especially the big props. When they was tired, the likes of Ashworth and that conceded a few penalties against Hull, and obviously they're going to be clamping that down this season. So I think if Rovers can adhere to the new rules and kind of take the game to them, have a bit of that wind-up merching about them, Hull have got the tendency to, you know, be a bit sloppy in discipline-wise. I know Tony highlighted it in the victory over Bradford, the victory over Donny and the defeat to Wigan. He kept speaking about discipline. If you can get the likes of Mikey and Jez and Matt Parcell running around the likes of Ashworth and that, then you should be winning penalties for days there. So it's all these little tactics where I think Rovers, you know, can come up the upper hand there. But yeah, for me, I'd like to see Harding or Tennyson in that fourth spot.
Yeah, for me, Joe, I think the speed around the ruck is what wins it for Rovers. And I think their ability to offload and you know, the fact that Jez Litton is been given that starting role. Are we expecting him to be given that starting role? Yeah. Willie Peters already mentioned that he wants him to be first choice. But, I mean, when you look at who his replacement is, Matt Parcell, it's an envious position to be in for us, isn't it? So I reckon speed. That is why I wonder if he might just give the nod to Corey Hall in terms of his speed and his ability. But like you said, he was short in defence in the pre-season friendlies, and there's no doubt you can get away with it in pre-season friendlies when the results don't matter. When you're playing the first game of the season in front of 20,000 people in a Hull derby and the world's watching you, you know, it's a different place. Yeah. But then again, if you're not put into these positions, how does a coach know you're going to react? So it is going to be really, really interesting to see how the lineup one thing that intrigues me, Joe, is around the flexibility of the players within a game. So we're getting the Leeds friendly. We saw Iku move to centre. We saw Gildak change position as well. We saw Tom Opacic go out onto the wing. Do you think that's a feature, or do you think that was just purely for pre-season and needs must at the time?
Yeah, I hope so. I wouldn't like to see everything chopping and changing when you're at home to St. Helens after 20 minutes. I'd like to have seen Ickle got a bit more time at fullback in the Leeds game. Obviously, I know he was trying different things out, but then that's why I always thought should have played a little bit of a stronger squad against Sheffield, because then you could have done 20 minutes, 30 minutes there. Again, we're not the coach, so we don't know. And I know Willie's not that massively keen on friendlies, but for me, they're there for a reason and you've got to run them out, and the players are paid to play, aren't they? But yeah, for me, I think if he's earmarking Hicker as a fullback, and yeah, Valds can move there, but then you'd have to move Gildart or Opacek on the wing and Iku into the centre, and for me that just wouldn't work. So I hope it was just because it was a friendly and he wanted to try some different combinations out. But I think come game day, come Super League, you've got to have your square pegs in square holes, haven't you?
Yeah, and Dan, what do you make of Willie Peters' comments that Tyrone May's comments that he's in the side to basically feed Mikey Lewis and Tyrone Mays, the organiser, the guy who's orchestrating the team around the pitch, and Mikey Lewis is the one who's sort of playing off the cuff, giving that freedom, that free role that he seems to enjoy.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing. It can only be a good thing, isn't it? Because you look at last season when we had, before Schneider come over, we had Milnes and Lewis. I think Lewis was having to do everything, wasn't he? And I think it stifled him a bit. He couldn't play his own game. His game isn't the directing the troops around the pitch, is it? It's the off the cuff little half back, isn't he? He's not the big general. Like when I went to the grand final, obviously we'd signed Tyrone May by then, so watching him, you just watch what he does. He doesn't go unnoticed, but he sits at the back and directs the troops. It all went through him. But it wasn't much flash stuff. But you watch what he actually does, and it's the little kicks through. He knows where his runners are. He knows where to pass the ball, and I think that can only benefit the likes of Mikey Lewis. It just gives him that bit more freedom to play. It takes the pressure off him, because we sometimes forget that he's only what 21, 22 year old. Just takes the pressure off him in that respect. It lets him have his freedom to play his game.
Yeah, Joe Tyrone May, he's the one player that I'm really looking forward to seeing. I think he's got a really sort of, I don't, not a funny playing style, but the way he sort of roams around the pitch, and he's always trying to offload, he's looking for the pass, he seems to be someone who's just always trying to see what's on and what's on offer, and obviously his role is to provide a platform for Mikey Lewis to be able to come with those moments of magic. That said, Tyrone May is equally capable of producing his own moments of magic, isn't he? And especially with his assists.
Well, that's the thing. I think it was 22, won it last season in the regular season. So he's not coming over and just directing the troops as well, is he? Do you know what I mean? He can score a try. I really like his short kicking game. You know, when Abdul left, obviously everyone was going, Rovers haven't got a kicking game anymore. For me, Mikey's high kicks are getting better and better every game. And he'll have worked on that a lot in the off-season. And for me, I think I thought Tyrone May, along with the likes of Harry Smith and that, I've got one of the best short kicking games in the Super League. And I think Batchelor and Tanga Noah will really benefit from that. Because if you look at Catalan last season, on the fifth, Tyrone May always likes to dink it into that little area where the back rowers are. So, you know, if they're always worth a punt, probably on Scarbet beforehand if they're both playing. But yeah, for me, I think if May and Mikey can click, people talk about contrasting styles and all that. They'd worked on it in the off-season. If them two can work together and you can have Hicku fully fit out the back in the span, and then Matt Parcell and Jez at 9 and Mini at 13, you know, that's some span in it. And everything around that will come together because of them five or six players there. And yeah, really looking forward to seeing what he can do. I think he's hungry, and I liked his interview with Dave Craven at the Mirror, where he said, I've played the victim for a few years now, and I've been a bad boy, and I know what I've done, and I'm mature now, and I'm looking forward to coming to Rovers. And the fact that he didn't realise how good some of the Rovers players had been, the setup and that, comparing it to Penrith. I know sometimes words can be only words are there for a reason, and the play up to the media. I've dealt with it for 2 years, but I think he means what he says, and he's come over not for a payday. Obviously, he'll be on big books and that. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do. And now that he's playing in front of a crowd at Craven Park every single week, it'll be interesting to see if he can fully buy in. Because if he does, then I think we've got an absolute brilliant span that we can work with this year.
Yeah, and it's that span you've just mentioned there, Joe, that makes me believe that Rovers are going to be good for at least 20 points in front of Hull on Thursday. I just think we're going to absolutely blow them away. You know what? It's a weird feeling because I'm supremely confident for the first time in going into a derby. Normally, I'm full of angst and anxiety and worry and all everything that goes with it. But for once, it might be a derby that I might actually enjoy. That said, they'll probably go get dicked and go get beat, and then I'll have to go back to work. And I will split off and get the piss took out of me for being too confident. But that is the beauty of sport, isn't it? And if we didn't have that, you know, there would be no point in sport, would there? There'd be no point because everyone's got a chance. I just don't think they've got a good enough chance on Thursday, Dan.
No, I've gone a bit closer and I've gone 8 points. I do think it'll be a bit closer. I think the weather will play parks. It's meant to tip it down, isn't it? The forecast to tip it down. So I think that might stifle a bit of, you know, exciting play. But yeah, I think we've got too much room. I think, like we said earlier, the bench is the big thing for me. Their bench is quite soft, isn't it? And I think, like Joe said, weather the storm, they're going to throw everything at us. They're going to try and put some big hits in, but that's where the gaps are going to be. When they're more bothered about smashing Mikey Lewis, he's just got to take it, not get wound up, and they're where the gaps are going to appear. When they're flying out the line trying to hit us, then big lads Pele trying to prove a point, how good he is, I can smash the little lads. Well, that's when we'll find the gaps.
Yeah, 100%. Huge thanks, guys, for joining us on the Robin Pod. If you're travelling to the game on Thursday, make sure you're loud and proud. I think there are, 3,500 Rovers fans. I'm sure there'll be plenty more who have got in and got tickets. So if you are there, make yourself your presence known and make sure you back the boys. It's going to be an interesting game as the Hull kicks and Rovers go in search of the first 2 points of the 2024 Super League campaign. For now, though, live, love, laugh and be happy.